And you're listening to Morning Edition on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves. Joining me on the phone lines is U.S. Representative Rick Crawford, who joins us. Mr. Crawford, thanks for joining us as always. Appreciate you, sir.
You bet.
So give us an update on what you're working on, kind of what's going on in the House.
Well, unfortunately, as you most people know and you can watch on the news and read about it, and we're just really kind of consumed with this whole impeachment inquiry. And so that's taken up a lot of valuable time and resource that could be, I think, more appropriately directed toward things that matter, like passing USMCA, dealing with infrastructure issues, securing our border, any number of things that have sort of been sidelined because of the the spectacle with impeachment. And so, unfortunately, it's just hard to get anything done right now.
One thing I was wanting to ask you, did you ask for an investigation of some senators? And tell us about that.
Well, and several of my colleagues signed on with me as well. There are three individuals over on the Senate side, Dick Durbin from Illinois, Menendez from New Jersey, and Leahy from Vermont, who basically sent a letter to Ukrainian officials doing exactly what they're accusing the president of, and that is that if you don't do X, Y, and Z, we will withhold funding. And what they were asking for was for Ukrainian officials to investigate Trump. And, it's just amazing how short their memories are. And they, the mistake they made, I think, is they put this in writing. Obviously, we've seen a copy of the letter. We've cited some of the text of the letter. Basically, I don't expect anything to come of it because, I'm not in the Senate. I don't have any standing in the Senate. But what we think it's important to note is to highlight the duplicity of these individuals. We wrote the letter to the president of the Senate, which is Vice President Biden, along with the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, and asking them to look into this and then take whatever appropriate measures should be taken with regard to, how these individuals have conducted themselves and how that matters in the context of what's being dealt with now with regard to the charges against the president. So it's interesting to see that people like Leahy, Durbin, and Menendez and others, along with some of our colleagues in the House, like Speaker Pelosi and Adam Schiff and some others, what they've done by what they accuse others of doing. I mean, these are the same kinds of things that they've done themselves that they are, in fact, accusing the president of. In fact, I was watching a video earlier this morning of Speaker Pelosi railing on Republicans for entertaining impeachment of President Clinton back 21 years ago. And she said that Republicans were paralyzed with fear, and that was the reason they were trying to discredit the president, speaking of President Clinton, trying to overturn the results of a duly elected president, speaking of President Clinton, exactly the same thing that they're doing right now. And so it's interesting, the historic context that's all forgotten at this point as they engage in an impeachment inquiry. And I will tell you this, the impeachment inquiry that took place in 1998, at least there were articles of impeachment. There was a floor vote. There was a proceeding, an open and transparent proceeding. Whether or not it was right is neither here nor there in terms of, politically speaking, that probably did more harm than good. I wasn't a member of Congress in 1998. I'm a member of Congress now, and I can see that they're not following any normal procedure and that they refuse to make it official by putting articles of impeachment on the floor for a couple of reasons. One is they're not sure they have the votes. And number two, they don't want to have it on their record. And so there's a reason why they're doing this. Also, they're doing it in secret, behind closed doors. I'm on the Intelligence Committee, and I've been privy to some of these hearings. There's no reason for the Intelligence Committee to be spearheading an impeachment inquiry. It's absolutely inappropriate. It should be done in the Judiciary Committee, and it should be done out in the open. And the president should not be denied his constitutional due process that every other individual is entitled to as well. So no, the president is not above the law, nor is he below the law. And so I think right now he's being denied due process. And what do you do in a case like that? I mean, he's fighting back. And people don't like that, but, you know, that's the only recourse he has.
And do you think, though, that there is something that Democrats do need to take a look at by way of, you know, making sure that no laws were broken when it comes to Ukraine?
Sure. They should have been taking a look at this a long time ago. They should have been taking a look at the role of U.S. persons engaging with foreign nationals to influence elections. We did that in 2017. It was a lengthy process. And what we found was, again, back to my point, what we found was that, in fact, there was Russian interference. We knew that going in. We got testimony from a variety of people that we knew that the Russians had interfered in the election in 2016. But what they were trying to do was make the point that President Trump had colluded with the Russians. What we found was that presidential candidate Hillary Clinton had, in fact, colluded with the Russians to discredit and diminish then-candidate Donald Trump. And there was a whole bunch of collusion that took place on the part of Hillary Clinton and the DNC involving the Steele dossier and Glenn Simpson Christopher Steele. And these individuals were the ones who were involving foreign nationals to influence a U.S. election. I'm wondering where the outrage is over that. Further, the letter that I sent to the Senate asking the majority leader over there to investigate this letter sent by the three senators that I mentioned, they were doing exactly what they're accusing the president of, and that is to say, do what we want or we will withhold funding. Now, senators, an individual senator has a lot of power. As an individual member of Congress in the House, I don't have that much power. I can't single-handedly withhold funding or whatever. I can only vote yes or no. Senators, because of their rules and because of, you know, the process that they have, they can do an awful lot to impact funding, for example, in Ukraine. And so they made that threat back in 2018. For political purposes. So that basically is a U.S. person engaging with a foreign national for political purposes. Is that appropriate? I don't think so. That's what they're accusing the president of doing, and the president has turned over the transcript of the conversation in question upon which this entire circus is built on. And it's you know, he's been transparent. With the approval of President Zelensky of Ukraine, allowed that transcript to be made public. Now, that's a problem for me in that, are we now going to start requiring that all of the president's communications be transcribed and released in public? I don't think that's a very good model going forward. I think that probably is going to cause a major problem with leaders of foreign countries engaging with our president, because, you know, they need to make sure that what they talk about with the president remains in confidence. Because what if Zelensky had to have a very close hold conversation about some things that were going on in the EU, and he didn't want to alienate people in the EU, for example, say Merkel or Macron or somebody like that, and maybe he needs to get the president, make them aware of some things that are going on. Well, now that's open for public dissemination. Now, that's just not a good way to engage in diplomatic communication. And so I think that was it was unprecedented that he was forced to do it. He did it willingly with the permission of Zelensky just to show that there was nothing inappropriate about that conversation. And yet now, because of an inappropriate claim from an unidentified whistleblower, now we're going down this road of impeachment as if they have some sort of reason to do it, and they don't.
How do you think this is going to impact the 2020 election?
I'll tell you what. I was at a football game on Thursday night, a week ago Thursday, my son's football game, and I've been involved with his football. I'll try to make this quick. I've been involved with his football for now 7 years. 5 of those years I coached. I know these parents. I know the kids. Now I'm sitting up in the stands because he's older now and I'm not coaching him anymore, but I'm up in the stands for 7 years. I've known these families, and we've never had a political conversation other than, hey, you're back from Washington. How are things in Washington? Beyond that, we're talking about, you know, the defense of the other team, or, you know, who's going to start at quarterback or whatever. And last Thursday, I was on all sides. I had people asking me about Adam Schiff. These are not political junkies. These are everyday people who are there to watch a football game. And they were asking me, how do you walk in the same room with Adam Schiff? These are people that didn't even know who Adam Schiff was 3 weeks ago. And now he's become a national figure, and which is what he wanted to do. The problem is he's become a national figure in a very negative way because, at least in my district, he is viewed very negatively. And people were asking me, I don't know how you go into a hearing with him. I don't know how you can walk into a room with him. That's probably not the desired effect that Adam Schiff had. My point is this. His behavior may play well in Beverly Hills, where he's from. It may play well in Manhattan, you know, where, you know, a lot of extreme ultra-liberal folks reside. And even some folks in Washington might tolerate it. But I can tell you this, broadly speaking, in flyover country, which we're a part of, this is not playing very well at all. And people that I've encountered while I've been home over the last 2 weeks, up and down the district, they're not the least bit impressed by him or his supporting cast that are continuing to perseverate on this impeachment issue when we have so many more pressing issues to deal with. And I just don't think this is going to work to their advantage at all.
U.S. Representative Rick Crawford, we've run out of time, but thank you for joining us as always. We'll look forward to talking to you soon. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Thank you.
And the U.S. Representative Rick Crawford will go back to Morning Edition, already in progress.